The National Institute of Standards and Technology has launched a four-part plan to help agencies build more secure IT systems. Our next guest says the same engineering principles that apply to bridges and buildings should apply to IT, that its security should be built in, not added on later. For details, we turn to NIST computer scientist Ron Ross, who guided the new publication called An Integrated Approach to Building Trustworthy, Resilient Systems. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Emily. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. So first of all, just give us the layman's overview of this four-part initiative, please.
The new special publication, the number is 800-160, was created to help our customers and industry build security into products and systems earlier in the life cycle. So it helps us achieve better products and systems at the end of the day, products that are more and systems that are more secure, more trustworthy, and more resilient, especially against some of the high-end cyber attacks that we continue to see today.
So does this apply, when you say products and systems, does this mean computers? Does it mean delivered systems, say, from systems integrators? And what else would it apply to?
It would apply to all of those because the standard that we based our work on was an international IEEE and ISO standard. It's a systems and software engineering standard. It goes by the number 15288. And we took that standard and we infused security best practices into every one of the stages of the systems and software engineering processes that were defined by the international standard. So it ensures that when system engineers and software engineers are building products and systems, they have the appropriate guidance to infuse these very important security principles and practices into the products and systems before they get to the customer.
And so just for NIST aficionados, 800-160, where does it fit in the panoply of the 800 special publications that you have that apply to cybersecurity?
Well, we produce a wide variety of guidance documents, as you know. This one is more on the, I call it the waterline. There are certain things that our customers can do above the waterline that are in their control, like configuring their products, patching their systems, and doing asset inventories and all of those types of things that we consider good cyber hygiene. There are certain things that are below the line that they don't have much control over, and this would be in the development of the software, the systems that they actually use to carry out their missions and business functions. So this publication is unique in that regard. It starts to look below the waterline, provide guidance to our customers on how to ask for the right types of things, and then for industry to, on a voluntary basis, to respond to their needs.
So what are the four steps? Like, what do you do first, and then second, and then third?
There are actually four phases to the project, and it's more of how much information we put into the publication at one time. Since it's based on an international standard, the first phase of the project is what we published 2 days ago. It's the first 11 processes, the engineering processes, with the security infused into those 11 processes. Later in the summer, we're going to be releasing a second draft, which will have more information in our appendices. So we're going to show how all of the current FISMA publications, the risk management framework, and all the things we've worked on, how those fit into the engineering process. Later, toward the fall, we're going to be releasing our third phase of the project, which will include the final 14 non-technical processes, so things like configuration management, risk management, quality assurance, all of those processes, which are part of the international standard, we will be putting our security work into those as well. So by the end of the year, when we get to phase four, which is just a final update, we will have a complete engineering process with all the security built in.
We're speaking with Ron Ross, a fellow at NIST, and he also leads the Federal Information Security Management Act Implementation Project team at NIST. And let's suppose a scenario. I'm a program manager, and I'm working with my contracting officer, and we are acquiring an information system for the federal government, and it's got hardware, it's got software, maybe it's related to financial management or health IT. What, without oversimplifying, what is it that we should be asking the supplier to do to comply with 800-160 as it stands now?
Well, I think the 800-160, we certainly want to tell industry how to build their systems. They're the experts in that regard, and they produce tremendous IT. But what we'd like to be able to do is make sure they have a process in place which ensures that the right security measures and things are being built in at the appropriate stage of the life cycle. And so the program manager in the case that you cited could point to the 800-160 and ask their potential systems integrator or product developer or service provider to ensure that they go through and those steps are, or the process steps in the 800-160 are followed, and then provide evidence of that those steps have been followed in the build process. So that's one way to do it from a customer's point of view. If you're on the other side of the coin, you're a product or system developer, you might want to proactively use the guidance on a voluntary basis to show your customers that you've done your due diligence with regard to placing those important security features in the products and systems before they get to the customer. So it can be used in both directions.
So this four-part plan seems like a really big initiative and undertaking for your team at NIST. I'm just wondering, were there any specific incidents or catalysts for undertaking it, or what was the need that you felt to do this?
Well, I think there was no one thing that we saw that drove this. We've been doing the FISMA work for over 10 years now, and we've been watching the threat space over that time. And certainly the cyber attacks have gotten more frequent, more sophisticated, and there are certain things that we're seeing that our customers can do to stop those cyber attacks. There are certain things they can't do. And so 800-160 starts to go, as I said, below the waterline and attack the problem from the point of view of the quality of the software, the trustworthiness of the software and the systems that they're using. And that was really the impetus. We look at the threat space and we see the attacks. We see where they're coming from, who's being targeted, the success rate, and the impact that those attacks are having. And we're taking one more step to try to provide guidance to our customers so they can defend themselves a little bit better.
But given the fact that cyber threats seem to be evolving and that hackers always seem to be getting smarter, how often do you foresee that you're going to have to revise the guidance because the bad guys have already figured this out?
Well, there's a good news scenario here because no matter what kind of cyber attacks are created, there are certain basic principles, fundamentals of computer science, computer engineering, architecture, and things that are fundamental to the design of what we call more trustworthy software. The better job we do there, we will reduce significantly the number of vulnerabilities that are currently in our products and systems that we use routinely. There'll never be a perfect solution, and as you said, the threat space evolves, but even as that threat space evolves, by applying these best practices, we will continue to cut down a large portion of those attacks that are not currently being addressed.
In some ways, a well-designed system is like a sports car. It's really ready and raring to go when it's delivered, but you've got to maintain it. So is there a life cycle aspect to this new guidance such that when you get a certifiably well-built system, that as the owner and operator of it, you make sure it stays that way?
There is. In fact, the 11 process steps, the technical processes in the 800-160 document start with stakeholder requirements. They go through the design, the development, and then we move into what I call when the customer takes over, and you get into with the operations and sustainment, and there are certain processes in the 160 that address what happens when that system gets to the customer site. You go from design engineering to what we call field engineering, and there are support activities that go on all the way through the operations and sustainment part of that system, even to the point where we retire the system and it's disposed of to make sure that all the data is appropriately taken care of and it's not exposed to people who shouldn't be seeing it. So it does cover the entire cradle to grave.
Now, 800-160 is a draft, correct? And so people have time to submit comments?
That's correct. The comment period is open until July the 11th, and we, as always, encourage our customers, whether they're on the federal side or the private sector, to give us their feedback. It helps us build better documents, and we do this to serve them, and so it's kind of a collaborative effort, as always.